I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
9KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
All right, coming up, we will drink, we will toast in the weekend with a shot of the day. Then it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Jam on. It is a Seattle Rock Day inspired Bad Choice Friday with Kenny G.
This song just makes me chuckle now.
It's hard to keep a rhythm.
That turtle's got it.
Miles, I don't think you know the fine art of making love. Kenny G's always on in my house. Well, dream, Ted.
I like effing, Ted.
I know.
I don't need all that kissy stuff.
It's about her, man. No, that's what Kenny G's on.
No snuggling. Just straight sex.
It's one day a year. It's her day. Miles, if you just take the time, it's even better, buddy.
I have sex like you eat, Mike.
Yeah!
Fast.
Kenny G and Songbird taking on Kenny Loggins on a Bad Choice Friday.
Now I gotta cut loose, put loose. Kicked off Sunday shoes.
Please, Louise. Vote now, G. I wonder out of the two Kennys who will win.
I don't know.
Will it be Kenny G and Songbird or Kenny Loggins and Footloose? Vote now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Okay, update on Seattle Rock Day. We still have a ways to go as far as your donations. Keep in mind, if you're going to bid on any of the auction items, the auction ends in 2 hours and 39 minutes. Yeah. 2 hours and 39 minutes. Right. That includes a exclusive little mini Men's Room IPA Black Raven Brewery tasting party with
that's what we're gonna call that.
That's one of those things.
You're just gonna come and drink with us.
Yeah, that's basically what's
tasting party.
There's all kinds of cool stuff.
There's
all kinds of tickets. There's vinyl. There's stuff from Duff. There's stuff from Jerry Cantrell. It's all up there. But you have a little bit of a time, Mike. Unfortunately, you have priced yourself out of the Jack Daniels bottle.
I have. Enjoy it, Mary.
And a couple of
too rich for my blood, man.
The other things. Our question: what was your most memorable rock moment, or what was your most memorable moment involving a rock? 206-803 rock.
We have a text here about Kenny G. You know, nothing screams rock quite like Kenny G. It says Kenny G played that song literally standing right behind me while I was trying to eat a steak on New Year's Eve. The spotlight was on my back while I was trying to cut through it. How annoying is that? Like, Kenny, come on, man.
That's weird.
I'm trying to eat a steak, bro.
Must have been at the Sizzler.
If you're at a place where Kenny G is playing, he starts playing that song. Sorry, I'm not that worried about the steak.
No!
I've never been to a show where
you're blown away if Kenny G breaks into song.
That's his song, yeah.
I know. I can't name another song.
Who goes? Where do you go and watch a band and eat dinner at the same time?
On New Year's Eve.
While they're playing.
Vegas?
I've been to Vegas on New Year's
Eve. But it's Kenny G. You know, it's one thing if it's like a band playing, I get it. But it's like, it's Kenny G. Like, that's music that I feel like a restaurant would put on while you're eating anyway.
Right, but I'm...
I just don't want him physically present.
I'm eating, and they're bringing me the food, and he's on stage playing. Am I understanding that correctly?
I don't know if he's on stage. He was literally standing right behind him. But I'm picturing Kenny is, like, not on stage. He's kind of out there, you know, shaking his curls to the ladies. And he just ends up standing behind this guy who's just trying to eat a freaking steak.
All right.
Yeah, like he's walking around, hair flowing.
Wouldn't you?
Winking at chicks.
If I had that hair and played the sax, I'd be doing the same thing. With that song, for sure.
Do you like sex? I mean, sax?
Do you like
sex? That would be my line.
I'm Kenny G. Do you like sex? Oh, they said it was a jazz alley.
I said sax.
Oh, jazz alley.
Jazz alley.
All right,
that makes sense.
Okay. So Kenny was mobile.
Yeah, mobile Kenny.
Mm, he's active.
Hello, Pogi. Welcome to the men's room.
Pogi.
Hello, Pogi.
We're getting there. Pogi.
Now put it back on hold. We'll get to it.
Pogi.
Hello, Cody. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Yeah, so, you know, I grew up a huge Metallica fan and a huge Misfits fan, specifically only the Misfits with Glenn Danzig.
Did the Misfits exist without Glenn Danzig?
Oh, yeah. They had two other vocalists without once Danzig left the band.
Also, so once he went to the solo, like Mother stuff, they had a different singer?
Yes.
Okay,
that's crazy, man.
When he went solo, they had two other vocalists.
Because I enjoyed the Misfits a great deal, much like you did. But when Glenn Danzig left, in my mind, the band ceased to exist. I didn't realize they carried on.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I in junior high went through a huge like punk rock phase, and the Misfits were the band that launched my punk rock journey, if you would. But I grew up loving Metallica. And I got a chance to see Metallica when I was 16. My brother bought me my first concert ticket to go see them. It was great. We went together. I actually got the opportunity to buy him a Metallica ticket for Christmas this year. So excited about that. But my entire middle school, high school, you know, journey wanted nothing but to see the Misfits with Danzig. And, you know, pretty much came to the conclusion that was never going to happen. My buddy and I, a few years ago, got a chance to go see Danzig perform at Showbox, and it was not good.
I mean, how was it? Yeah. What stuck? What was the disappointing part about it?
I mean, the fact that he's asking what we want to hear him play, and by the way, it was on Halloween, and so he's asking us what we want to hear. The crowd is. I think Danzig won, you know, his first album.
Yeah.
He played two songs. He played Mother and She Rides. That was it.
Both great songs. So basically, he's just asking the crowd because he was curious, but had no intention of actually playing it.
For sure. Because, you know, we're chanting Danzig 1, and then he goes, oh, you want to hear stuff from Danzig 3? Okay. Like, nobody wanted that, bro. Like,
yeah, it sounds like the performance came up a little short.
Yeah.
It was not great, but right after seeing that that show, they announced that the Misfits with Jerry or with Danzig were going to be performing a set of tour dates, and Seattle was one of them. And so my buddy and I, my best friend from junior high and high school, we got a chance to go see them. And it was like a really emotional experience. Like, this was the band we never thought that we'd get to see in that capacity.
Sure.
And it blew us out of the water. I mean, it was just so good. And that was at White River. You know, even just sitting on the lawn and getting to see everything, even from far away, getting to hear everything was just fantastic.
Seeing... Hey. If you get a chance, man, they handed out the Gershwin Awards at DAR Constitution Hall. I don't know if they did it this past weekend or it was taped or whatever, but PBS put a special together. And it's a who's who. Garth Brooks is on stage. Everyone from Annie Lennox, from the Eurythmics to, you name it. It's a who's who of music, right? But yeah. Metallica goes out there and they do a version of Funeral for a Friend and Love Lives Lies Bleeding. Absolutely.
And crush it, man.
It kicks ass. I mean, I was in my living room. I stood up out of my couch. I was like, Jesus, that is not an easy song to play.
No.
It's a long song. It's got a lot of progression to it. And I mean, Metallica kills it. If you get a chance, man, just watch that performance.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I will do that. Yeah, I get to see them with Einstein Kills and, unfortunately, Five Finger Death Punch.
Wow.
Damn.
Okay.
On day two of their tour, and I bought my brother and my sister-in-law a ticket to go see Pantera and Wolfgang Van Halen and Metallica for night one. So,
you know, dude, I love Wolfgang Van Halen. I've become an apologist for his music, dude. I dig it, man. I love that stuff.
It's really cool to see somebody who clearly, you know, inherited a love of music who probably felt intimidated having his dad be Eddie, right?
Yeah, sure. And your uncle was Alex.
So, yes, exactly. And he's doing so well. I mean, the fact that he's touring with Metallica right now is fantastic.
But the music's good, man.
No, he's got his own original sound.
Yeah,
Whatever he learned, you know what I mean? He took it his own direction.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Now, one thing, you said Misfits got you into your punk rock phase, which makes me think back to high school with a bunch of cats I knew that went through the punk rock phase. What would you have looked like during your punk rock phase?
I tried really hard to fit that stereotype, and I was not allowed to. So, I wore just jeans and band t-shirts. Even now, it's jeans and band t-shirts and horror movie t-shirts. That's just my everyday.
Okay. All right. But your parents weren't going for the look, huh?
No, I'm okay with that. I got to be myself, and I didn't have to fit a stereotype.
Well, my parents would never, they couldn't afford, I mean, they would never think to buy me Doc Martens. They were too expensive.
The like punk?
Leather jacket, too expensive.
Yeah, I had to wait to buy the leather jacket.
I was
going to
say, the punk thing is just different. Now, granted, I went to a high school where everybody wore a uniform.
Sure.
But, like, you kind of get the impression, but, like, I didn't know about punk. And I get it. DC was a massive punk scene.
Yeah, oh, my
but, like,
God.
I didn't listen to that. Like, I barely listened to rock. And then I had one buddy that played baseball, and he was always talking about Fugazi.
Yep.
And this and that, right? And I remember the first time I saw him at a party, I was just like, what in the F are you wearing?
Oh, when he's dressed the way he wants to be?
Correct. It was just because I only knew him as a dude I went to school with in a baseball
uniform.
Or I saw him in a baseball uniform when we were kids. So it's just like, huh, punk.
I'll tell you what, man. The one band I really liked about you brought up Fugazi, all right? So Fugazi, massive punk band in the D.C. area.
Massive Attack.
But they were true to their word, right? So, tell you, punk rock, man, F the man. And then you sign your record contract with the man and hope for distribution to make your money, you know, from the man, all that kind of thing. Fugazi, all these different record labels approached them back when there were more than two, right?
Yeah.
And this, no. So, dude, when we say we're not trying to sign with the man, we're not going to sign with the man. They printed all their own T-shirts. And one thing that you loved was if the T-shirts cost $5 to print per shirt, they sold them for $5. The only way they made any kind of profit is if they played a show. That was it. They're like, yeah, we'll take the money from the ticket prices. But, man, they're like, we refuse to sign with the label. So they created their own label, I believe, put out 3 or 4 albums that were all phenomenal. The T-shirts, it's like they had the cheapest T-shirts in town, but the same quality. So the other bands, including mine, are trying to sell T-shirts for like $20. And they're like, that's not what it costs to make them. I mean, I was like, you guys are legit about your message. I appreciate it. You're also broke, but I like the fact that you're legit.
What was your most memorable rock moment, or what was your most memorable moment involving a rock? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
What up, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have a rock experience, like rock star experience, because I'm from the Bay Area, and all my experiences are with Bay Area rappers. But I have a rock experience, and it pisses me off to tell this story.
Okay.
So my sister lives in Idaho, and at the time, we had one car in the family. She was going to help us out with another car. So she got me a little Mazda van, and she flies me out there. Everything's going great. Trip out there, first time I've been to Vegas, because I flew from here to Vegas to Boise. I don't know why Vegas was my connector, but... So, and this is, mind you, the weekend
that's way out of the way.
Championship game with the Niners and the Rams.
Okay.
I should say the Lambs. So, that Sunday, NFC Championship game, I'm driving back from Idaho. Trip's going fine. Everything's going cool. I hit Yakima, and the van starts developing a little misfire. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, so it's going to run like crap all the way back to Tacoma. And I'm coming south, like I'm on Highway 12, going around the south end. I'm going around the south side of Rainier. And man, I'm following this big rig, and I'm about a car length behind this big rig, you know, safe distance, and but not like far away where, you know, some like. And we're on a 2-lane highway, by the way, like snowy Rocky Mountain on one side, you know, like lake on the other side, and it was just no shoulder. Yeah, no, it was a great situation. Out from underneath this big rig rolls this like basketball sized rock. And I'm like, I said, I'm like a car length. So I'm like, no time. So I first instinct, I try to swerve. And dude, rolled up on it, took out the transmission. It came down on the rock on the transmission. Just shattered the transmission. Just flew it everywhere. And I was just like, because there was a smidge of shoulder, and where I had pulled off, I had just enough cell service to like make calls and whatnot. And I had everybody like, pulling off, asking me if I need a ride, asking me if I'm all right. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just fuming.
I'm pissed. Boy. Was that the end of the van?
And then I get out and I'm, assessing the situation, turn around, look around, because we're kind of like going, up a little grade, right? Because the rock was rolling downhill. I turn around, the car behind me didn't hit it. God damn thing disappeared after I hit it.
Probably rolled off the cliff.
But there was like a concrete barrier, so it couldn't like roll off the cliff. I mean, like it would have been like on the side of the road. Yeah, that thing was nowhere in sight. No, the cars behind me didn't hit it. No.
Did it total your van?
I got to sit there and watch my Niners lose to the Lambs. Oh my God!
It's that kind of day, brother. Yeah. It's just that kind of day,
bro. Oh my God! Oh, it was. I wanted death that day.
What was your most memorable rock moment, or what was your most memorable moment involving a rock? 206-803-ROCK. It is Seattle Rock Day. Please head to KISW.com. Give what you can. Donate now. At 6 o'clock, we need to hit $14,000.
Yes.
So $20, $50, whatever you can get, bid on an auction item, do whatever you can. Because we need to help the Seattle area musicians. Medical care, dental care, mental health services, and other things offered at least a lower cost than normal.
Yeah.
So that's the idea behind the fine folks at Smash. We'll take a break, come back with more of your calls right after these.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Still Rock Day. 14 years deep. And for the fifth year in a row, benefiting the fine folks at Smash, Seattle musicians access to sustainable healthcare. They're an organization that provides medical, dental, mental health services, and a whole lot more for free or very low cost.
Yeah.
To local area musicians. Please donate now. There is an auction. Chance for you to drop some cash. KISW.com. Need a few more $1,000 before 6 o'clock when the auction does end. So if there's any of the items you want to get in on the bidding, do so now. KISW.com. Our question, what was your most memorable rock moment, or what was your most memorable moment involving a rock? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Randy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
All right. Here's my story. I used to work for a company doing floors at the Renton Kmart, and one day the head manager came up from Kmart, and he came up to me and says, hey, Randy, you look pretty stout. How would you like to work for me this Saturday? And I said, Saturday? What's going on? And he says, well, I got Ozzy Osbourne coming in. And this is back in the mid-80s.
Wait, Ozzy Osbourne was coming into Kmart?
Yes. He was coming into Kmart to sign posters for his Randy Rhoads tour.
All right, okay. That makes sense. Right. I was wondering, like...
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne at Kmart.
Where did you see Ozzy?
Yeah.
Kmart.
I tried to look it up in a lot of news articles, but there was only a short little article at the time. And so I said, yeah, sure. So I came down on Saturday, and I escorted the man from his van on my arm all the way to where he signed the posters. He signed my poster different than anybody else, and my girlfriend's poster at the time different than anybody else. He sat there and chewed gum and looked up and down, chewed gum. It was funny. And then I escorted him all the way back to his van where he took off. At the same rented area, I used to drink with Al Hendricks a couple times at the Jocko's Tavern.
Now, is that Jimmy's dad?
Jimmy's dad, Al Hendricks, yes, sir.
Okay, all right. We only know Leon.
Yeah, Leon Hendricks.
That's as deep as we go on Seattle Rock Day.
Very good. What do you want to do?
I mean, we know his sister.
Janie? Is it Janie Hendricks?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, yep. Janie Hendricks, yes. Okay. Oh, that's right, we haven't met her. Pretty cool woman.
All right, where are we beaming our satellites to now, Steve?
I believe we're going to our very own Glenn Cannon. Hello, Glenn, are you there?
Yeah, gentlemen, how we doing?
Hola.
Doing great, man.
Hola.
What are you doing?
Believe it or not, I am backline teching Third Eye Blind out in Yakima. They're sound checking in the background. Actually, they just crushed the cover of The Cure to be with you. I think that song's called. But yeah, anyway, that's what I'm doing, man. I'm working for SIR these days, so I am backline teching a killer show.
Okay, nice. I was going to ask you about that because Castle went to the last Guns N' Roses show here, and he's like, man, I'm looking on stage, and it's the way Castle puts it. He's like, I glance up, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's Glenn. He's like, wait a minute, it's goddamn Glenn on the Guns N' Roses stage. How long have you been doing this gig, man?
Well, I do all kinds of stuff, man. So the SIR gig is new just as of a couple weeks ago, but I know a lot of these guys, and it's amazing, amazing, crazy, talented group of people. The GNR show, actually, I've known Aaron for a long, long time, and Aaron was opening that show and hit me up and asked if I would tech for him. So I went down, and, I mean, he's been really working hard. His guitars were pretty tattered and beat up, so I gave him some serious love, and then just made sure that his stuff was hanging out properly for him while they put on, like, a crushing opening set, man. They were so good. But that's what I was doing at the GNR show. So I'm up there teching and, like, hiding behind Guns N' Roses gear, and I get a text from Castle, like, did I just see you on stage?
Glenn, I'm sure you've had a lot of great Seattle Rock moments. Anything that comes to mind that was just, yeah, maybe you were starstruck or just a moment that you remember?
Oh, man. With Seattle Rock, it's interesting. I've gotten to do so many great things, man. There was a night, this is a good one, I was up at the Paragon doing an acoustic set with George Grissom from the band Counterfist, and Jerry Cantrell was there. We were working with Scott Olsen a little bit at the time, and Jerry was in town visiting with Scott, and I ended up doing a bunch of songs in front of like 25 people with Jerry, and it was a blast. He was an awesome guy. Played beautifully, you know, and it was one of those things early on. He's like, what am I going to play tonight? And I'm like, well, I was going to play a bunch of your stuff, but I can't very well do that now.
Did you not do it because he was there?
No. He had a good laugh. Like, I was really ribbing him. Then, like, George and I were alternating sets. So after he heard me play a set, I think he kind of went, oh, you know, that guy's okay at this. So afterwards, he's like, what all do you know? And I was like, Jerry, man, I know a ton of stuff. So we ended up doing No Excuses. We did Rooster. We did Brother. You know, I was ribbing him. We were both just having a lot of fun. Like, when we did No Excuses, he turned to me and he's like, how's it start? And I literally was like, dude, you know, you wrote the flipping thing. And he cracked up and we started running down the lyrics, like, really just ribbing each other and having a good time. And that was cool, man. It was a real low-key gig. And there were like 15, 20 people there that were completely spazzing out because there's Cantrell. It was great. I got some photos of it. There was this girl that took a bunch of pictures that night. And I was like, would you send me those? And she did. And there's all these great pictures of Jerry. And you can see like half my face, maybe a little bit of my hair.
Glenn, how old were you when you moved to Seattle?
Oh, man. I was in my early 20s. I moved here in 97 or 98.
What's your favorite venue that you played?
Mm-hmm.
In Seattle.
Oh, man. probably Showbox Market, but I've done great shows at Soto. I've done the Moore, the Paramount, the Neptune. I mean, the Paramount show was really fun, but I mean, just, I think I really like Showbox Market, man.
I mean, it's hard to beat Showbox at the Market. I mean, to me, brilliant. That's just like the room.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a great vibe about that place. But then, I mean, you know, I can remember for a long time when Pioneer Square was still really hopping. Like, I had some of the best times of my life at the Central, Doc Maynard's. I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that I deeply and truly miss Studio 7. That place.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. Home.
Yep.
Now, Tracy and Nicole Moody are family, and I feel like when we lost Studio 7, it hurt, man. It was kind of like when we lost the Highway 99 Blues Club. It hurt. You know, I flinched. Some of the best times I ever had in my life, I think I had on stage or at shows at Studio 7.
I would have to agree with that, my
friend. Have you ever played Muckle Shoot Casino before?
Man, I haven't, but I think I might get to. Is that correct?
I believe so. I believe we have a gig scheduled for you on Sunday at the Men's Room World Tour, stop number 2 for 2024 at Muckleshoot, starting at 2, ending at 5, mm-hmm. and you and the Damage Done are coming down to provide the entertainment.
Yeah, man, we're going to have some fun. Louis, Jeff, and I kicked around a bunch of ideas. We're going to throw out some cool Seattle-based covers that I don't think anyone will expect, and just try and, you know, really give you guys a great show and entertain the hell out of everyone that comes out, man. So I'm really psyched. I'm looking forward to it. It's actually my birthday the 15th, so you guys are helping me ring in my birthday, man.
You should not have told us that, bro. You should not have brought that up.
Okay. How old are you going to be, Glenn?
Dude, this is the big 5-0.
Oh, no. Oh, man. That is a big one, man.
Yeah.
That really is a big one. Yeah. I'll be damned.
Yeah, and yet they still won't let me into most bars, and I'm not allowed to go see R-rated movies. I don't understand what's going on, man.
Exactly.
Hey, Glenn, I mean, they let Glenn Campbell in.
Yeah, that's true. Do you mind the Miles that called you Glenn Campbell?
I did not call you Glenn Campbell.
You called him Glenn Campbell.
I came in here to do a promo, and it wasn't written down, and I said, Glenn Campbell, the Damage. I'm like, oh, my God. I was hoping you'd come out with Rhinestone Cowboy just to shut him up.
Hey, man, I can do that. Don't threaten me with a good time, man.
Look, Glenn, Thrill and I have been saying that, like, don't, if you tell Glenn, he'll freaking learn it by Sunday.
Yeah.
No, man, my phone's been blowing up. Everyone's like, dude, Miles keeps saying Glenn Campbell.
I did not. I said it once.
I was just howling, man, you know?
I said it once.
Yeah.
And not on the air.
Well, you know how it is with these text threads, man. It's a telephone game. It's
yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Miles said you were suing Glenn Campbell. I'm like, what?
He's dead.
That's not what he said.
He's dead.
Miles said you were Glenn Campbell's illegitimate son. I'm like, no, he didn't, man.
All right. It's a tribute band.
Right.
Jesus
Christ. Hey, Glenn, what's the most people you've played in front of? Because I know you and Miggs, you played with,
Bruiser Brody?
No. Not Bruiser Brody. When you guys stepped in with,
We jammed with STP. I'm going to say that was the most, but I think that was 15,000.
How crazy was that, though, man? I mean, I knew you guys were going to do it, but just seeing you guys up there with those dudes, and I'm like, this is surreal.
Oh, man, they were the most just grounded, wonderful human beings. It was just a really cool, even the day of, I'm like, this isn't going to happen. And then when it did, I was like, man, they're actually going to go through with this. But it was beautiful. I mean, they don't know Steve and I from Adam. And there's all this video out there. If you watch the video, you'll see Robert DeLeo walk up to me and say something to me right before we go. He walked up to me and he's like, hey, man, don't be nervous. And I was like, oh, dude, I'm not. You know, because it's one of those, like, I've been doing this my whole life, bro. Like, you know.
Did Dean let you play his parts, or did you just play along with him?
Dean and I played together, and honestly, we were having a blast. There's some great photos. I got over by him and started kind of shoving up against him, so he was like leaning on me, and I was leaning on him. And he screamed "Yeah" into my ear so loud it rang.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. So Dean was ripping all this cool solo stuff, and I was just holding down the rhythm for him. And
was Miggs keeping okay time?
Oh, Miggs crushed it, man. You know, I wanted to clear their deck as soon as I was done. So as soon as I got done, I kind of got off stage. But Miggs is up there getting huge hugs from Eric Craig. Like, you know, he knocked it out of the park, man. Oh, it was the coolest, dude. Just really good people. And what a cool thing for Steve and I to get to do. You know, it was good stuff, man.
Cool.
And then that what come together. You guys were doing the podcast and basically just said, like, we know your song or something like that. Like, it came together real simple, right?
Yeah, no, we were interviewing them on the Mixcast, and it was the 30-year anniversary of Core. But me being me, I started nerding out with Dean about guitar tones, and then that turned into, well, you guys are players, right? And then it was, well, we should jam. And the next thing I knew, it was like, well, we should jam a White River Amphitheater. And Steve and I are like, okay.
That's crazy that a band says that.
But then they follow through on it.
Yeah, that's the amazing part.
They did. Well, and they said they wanted to jam. I was like, man, that's cool. We'll get together somewhere, have a couple beers, and jam, like in some little, you know, rehearsal space.
Yeah.
But they were like, no, get up and play one of our hits with us.
Right.
You know, and Jeff Goot's up there like, man, we've never done anything like this before, but we're going to give it a shot. And, you know, don't mess it up. And yeah, Steve and I went for it and just had a riot.
It was awesome. Okay.
Really fun, dude.
Glenn Cannon, The Damage, done playing with us on
Sunday.
I heard
Glenn Campbell.
Michael's Shoe Casino, 205. I got to tell you, our events are absolutely free to the public. So we're going to pay you in Men's Room beer brats from Molly's Famous Sausage and Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing. Does that work for you and your crew?
That works just fine. I think brats and brews surely can't equal anything bad.
Sounds like the name of our next festival.
Yeah.
You gave us the name of my next record, man.
Brats and brews. All right, Glenn, thanks so much, man. We'll see you Sunday at Muggle Shoot.
Love you guys. See you Sunday.
All right, brother. Thanks so much, man.
I think we should add brats.
Beers, brats, and broads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One more B.
And boobs.
And boobs.
Four Bs. Just like at Ballard. Yeah. At the pool tables.
Well, hey, you know, that's one of the rules of having people over, having a good ones at a party. You had to have like three of the four Bs.
To get all four.
Yeah. Return of Ted versus the FCC coming up. Please go to KISW.com now. Give what you can for Smash, Seattle musicians' access to sustainable health care as we celebrate Seattle Rock Day. And we get your emails coming up next to the Men's Room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.